your Bibles, go to two places this morning. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27. And then also, go to Luke 23. We'll pick up in Matthew 27 at verse 39. And in Matthew 27, verse 39, where we're at is the Lord Jesus Christ has been crucified. He's on the cross. And we pick up at verse 39, the Bible says, "And they that passed by reviled Him, wagging their heads and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Brethren, if He had, there would have been no hope for you and me. If He had. Notice that the devil is trying to use men to provoke the Lord Jesus. And brethren, if the Lord Jesus had been less than who He was, there would have been no hope for us. Because how many times do you get provoked and you respond to that provocation? Don't kid yourself. You know what you and I'd have done. We'd have come down and said, "I'll show you. I'll show you. I've got 12 legions of angels. I'll call them right now." That's what we'd have done. And He could have, but He didn't. Verse 41. "Likewise also the chief priests mocking Him with the scribes and elders said, He saved others. Himself He cannot save. If He be the King of Israel, let Him come down now from the cross and we will believe Him." Don't buy it for a minute. They wouldn't have. They wouldn't have. But look at verse 43. "He trusted in God that let Him deliver Him now if He will have Him, for He said, I am the Son of God." Verse 44. "The thieves also, which were crucified with Him, cast the same in His teeth." So your Bible says that those two thieves, because there were two thieves crucified on either side of Jesus, and they were doing the same thing. They were reviling the Lord and saying the same things. But yet, go to Luke 23. Luke 23, verse 33. "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified Him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand, the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted His raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided Him, saying, He saved others, let Him save Himself, if He be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked Him, coming to Him and offering Him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And the superscription also was written over Him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on Him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering, rebuked Him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Father, thank You for Your Word. Help us, Lord. Give us what we need. Speak to our hearts. Lord, may we be obedient to You this morning. Father, if there's anyone here or would be listening on tape that's never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, may this be the morning that they do so. May this be the morning that they cut loose, Father, and yield and submit to You and say yes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, have Your way. Have Your will. Help us, Lord, to be open and honest within ourselves. This, Father, we ask in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Brethren, our Bible tells us that, and we know this, most people know this, they've seen pictures and such, and they've heard that when Jesus Christ was on that cross, there were two others that were crucified on either side of Him. One on the right hand and one on the left. Two thieves. Two thieves. Boy, that's a heavy price, huh? I mean, brethren, they had stolen. They were thieves. And you know what was done to them for that? They were nailed to a cross. That's rough. That's rough. I bet you didn't have a whole lot of thieving going on. Brethren, if you knew somebody was going to nail you to a cross. Brethren, we're not talking about a couple of days in jail. We're not talking about having your hand cut off. We're talking about nailing you to a cross for stealing. But brethren, here's the thing. I want to tell you this morning and remind you that every one of us in this room, we're all thieves. Every one of us in this room, we are everyone guilty of stealing. You say, preacher, look here. Now, I've done some things. I know I ain't been a choir boy in my life. I know I've done some things. But I'm not a thief. Yeah, you are. You're a low-down thief just like me and everybody outside those doors. So what are you talking about? We've all robbed God of that which belongs to Him. To God alone belongs worship and adoration and service and honor and glory, and we've robbed Him of it. At some time in our life, we've robbed God of that, because listen, we've lived for ourselves. When I got saved, you know the number one idol in my life? Me.
Yeah,
me. That night I got saved, I realized I lived for nobody but me. I lived for Jonathan Doss. It was all about me. I was my idol. You know what? There was a filthy rock musician about 15, 20 years ago. At least he was honest enough to admit it. He called himself Billy Idol. You know why he called himself that? He goes, because I'm my own idol. Well, at least he was honest about it. Brad, that's the truth. I mean, it's messed up, but he was being honest about it. That's it, brother. We all, listen, we've robbed God of what belongs to Him because we worship ourselves. We live for ourselves. We please ourselves. Most of the time, what's been number one on our list is us. Not God. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says in Revelation 4 that the very reason you were created, not evolved. You didn't evolve. That's one of the worst lies ever hatched from hell. What a mess. The reason you were created is to give pleasure to the Lord. Revelation chapter 4 tells us that the reason you were created, everything was created, was to give pleasure to God. To please God. Not you. Or anyone else. To please God first. And in doing that, you're able to find fulfillment and satisfaction. But only in that. So see, when you're living for yourself, when you're all worried about pleasing you, you're robbing God. You're robbing God of the purpose He created you for. You're robbing God of honor and glory that is due only to Him. And brother, we've all been guilty of it. We're just like those two thieves. We've robbed. The thing of it is, we didn't stop. We're in small town, buddy. We didn't rob from no store. We've robbed the Almighty. We've robbed the Creator. We've robbed God of that which belongs to Him. We've lived for ourselves. Listen, saint of God, if you're saved this morning, you've been bought by His blood. Listen, doubly so are you supposed to be giving honor and pleasure to Him. You're bought with a price. Your Bible says you're not your own. You're bought with a price. You belong to Him now. But He shed His blood to redeem all of us if we'll accept that payment He made. And you see, in doing that, we get reconciled to God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to know God. He lives within. And then we're finally able to serve God and live for Him like we're supposed to. You can't live for God until you know Him through the new birth. You can't. The Bible tells us in Romans 8 that the carnal mind, in other words, that fleshly mind, your natural mind, is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You cannot please God as long as all you are is in the flesh. If you've never had a rebirth, if you've never been born again, if the Spirit of God does not abide within you, you can't please God because you don't know the mind of God. You don't know what's pleasing to God. When you get saved, the Bible says we get the mind of Christ and we understand how to please God. What's proper? What's pleasing to Him then? Oh, it's sad, brethren, what folks will do in this life to try to merit salvation and yet come up short. The believer does good works not to be saved, but because he is saved.
Right.
Anyway, we've robbed God. We've lived for ourselves. I told you the night I got saved, I told the Lord, Lord, I've lived for nobody but me. I told the Lord that night, Lord, I live for nobody but me. It's all about me, what I want to do. But Lord, I'm tired of this. And God, I don't want to go my way anymore. Lord, I want to know You. And I realized that to come to God, I had to come through His Son, Jesus Christ, and accept what He did as making the payment for my sin, for my soul. I had to accept what Christ Jesus did for me as being full payment before God. That's what I did. I realized that to get to God, I turned. I wanted to know God. But I realized to get to Him, I had to come through His Son. I had to believe and accept what His Son did on my behalf. And I did. I received His Son and God received me. And He'll do the same for you if that transaction hasn't taken place yet. You receive the Son of God and God will receive you. Well, here's these two thieves. And I want to tell you this morning that you and I, every one of us in this room, anybody we listen on tape, every one of us are on one of those two crosses. Now, not that one in the middle. That's Christ. That's His alone. But every one of us are on one of those two crosses. Now, your Bible says that in Matthew chapter 23, your Bible says, or 27, your Bible told said that both those thieves were reviling Jesus at first. Your Bible back in Matthew 27 said that those thieves, plural, cast the same in His teeth. So at the start of the crucifixion, when they first put Him on the cross, both of those thieves were reviling the Lord. They were saying things to Him like everybody else was. Hey, why don't you save us? You're Messiah, you're the Christ, well, you'll do something about it. Get yourself down and they weren't thinking about it, how about us? Both of them. Your Bible says in Matthew, both of them. But yet in the book of Luke, only one of them. Only one of them still doing that. And yet we see one of them with a repentant heart turning to the Lord. What happened? Well, it's obvious what happened. Preacher, it's obvious. Bible's full of contradictions. No. It's not a contradiction. It's God giving you a full picture of what transacted. You see, at the start, they both were reviling our Lord. But something happened. Why? You've heard of the term cross-examination, haven't you? Well, you know what? Our Lord's on the cross and they're examining Him. They're cross-examining Him, if you will. They're examining Him on that cross and they're noticing something with Him that is different from anybody they've ever seen. At least one of them sees that. Because instead of cursing and spitting and being vile, all they hear from Him is, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. They see Him being concerned about Mary, making sure she's taken care of. They see Him with words of tenderness and compassion. No hatred, no bile, no vehemence, nothing like that. And that one thief's able to tell, something's different here. No, something's different here. Now I'm watching Him. He's not the same. He's not like anybody I've ever seen. I believe He is who He says He is. In fact, He has to be. I know He is. And that one thief saw that difference in the Lord Jesus. Hanging there on the cross, he saw that. And he did something about it. Now, he didn't have time to do no good works. He didn't have time to give to charity. He didn't have time to be baptized. We're going to have a baptism today. But I look forward to it. We're going to really do her up today, man. We got four here. But look here. He didn't have time to get baptized. He didn't have time to join the church. He didn't have time to do good deeds. He didn't have time for any of that. But he had time enough to look over and call upon that one hanging in the middle there. And that's exactly what he did. Look what your Bible says here in the book of Luke. Luke 23, verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. Notice, I want you to notice that the first thing that thief acknowledged, that he realized, acknowledged, and was vocal about was, we are guilty. On that cross, he didn't say, you know, if we had had some good upbringing like this guy had, if we had been born poor, if we had had some more chance for some education, if we just had, it's different with us. No excuses. It's not lack of education. It's not lack of money. It's not lack of where you were. It's none of that. The problem is the heart. It always has been. Well, if men were, the big God of America is education. Now, you hold on. I'm not against education as long as it'll line up with the book. I'm not against a guy learning something to help him get. But I'm going to tell you, listen, look here. The education out there has an agenda behind it. And that agenda is to try to take God from the minds of as many people as they can. Education has become a god in America. You can think what you want to think about that statement. I can care less, but it's a fact. Education has become the almighty god in this country. There are people brought up thinking, well, if you've got education, you can make it. Honey, if you've got God, you can make it. Anything else, you can forget it. But look here, listen to me just a minute. A lot of people say, well, you know, if a man just were better educated, he could do better. You're right. Like Theodore Roosevelt said, you're right. A man can do better. If you educate him, he won't have to steal from the railroad car. He can steal the railroad company. Yes, it is. So Roosevelt said, and he's right. He said, an uneducated man will steal. Listen, an uneducated man will steal from the store. Give him an education, he'll steal the business. Yeah. You know why? That thing right there.
Yeah, yeah,
the heart of a petty thief and the heart of a corporate thief is the same.
Yes, sir.
You understand me? The heart of a petty thief and the heart of a corporate thief is the same. It's just that one's able to take it to a degree that the other can't. And both are in need of the new birth. And God's impressed with neither, and when both pull out of this life, the only thing that's going to matter is, did they know God through Jesus Christ? I told you before, brother, as I'm speaking right now, I would wager to say that probably somewhere in this great world, somewhere in this vast, huge world we live in, there's probably a bum dying somewhere right now. There's probably a bum in some street gutter dying, and they're not going to find his body for about a couple of days or weeks or something like that. He's dead. Nothing on him. Nobody's going to know where his family's at. Nobody's going to know. Nobody cares. He's probably dead right now, but somebody thinks he's unconscious. They probably just kicked him there a little bit, and he's dead. And you know what? Possibly, wouldn't be surprised at all, but somewhere right now as I'm talking, there's a millionaire. Somewhere, maybe he's in Brazil, maybe he's in Russia, maybe he's over in Australia. I don't know, but he's pulling out his life. And he's surrounded by the best medical care that can be found where he lives at. And there's people around him. And there's all kind of medical care. And he is pulling out of here. They're both pulling out at the same time. And did you realize that at that moment, as the breath departs out of each, they're equal? Do you understand me? And you understand that the only thing that matters now is, did they know God through His Son, Jesus Christ, and were they living for Him and trying to lay up treasure in Him? That's all that matters. That's all that matters. They pull out both equal. They came in the same way, and they're pulling out the same way. Someone has said the dash between the dates. Go look at the tombstone. Birth, death, and a little dash. That's it now. That's it. Just a little dash between the dates. You're coming in and you're going out. Do you know God? Listen, hear me this morning. You hear a listen on tape. Do you know God? Have you been brought to a right relationship with your Creator through the way that He has established to be made right to Him? In other words, have you come to God God's way? Through His Son, Jesus Christ. Have you been made a new creature? Can you point back to a time? Can you point back to a time that you know that you turned from self, turned to God, and accepted what His Son had done on your behalf, and God made you new? Can you point back to that? There's a day that you know, there's a record of a physical birth that you've had. Have you had a spiritual birth? Have you had a spiritual rebirth? You must, if heaven's to be your home. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he can't even see the kingdom of God. Jesus said, you must be born again. But this fella here, notice that he doesn't make any excuses. He makes no excuses. He says, well, you know, I had it rough in life. There you go. Yeah. Get in line. Everybody's got a story. Everybody's got a story. Somebody's done somebody wrong, you know. Yeah, Everybody's messed up somebody's oatmeal sometime or another thing. You know? I mean, really, I'm just telling you, everybody's got a story to tell. There's always something that's happened somewhere. But he's not making no excuses. There's no time for excuses. He's got just a little bit of time left. In fact, later on we see what happened to both these thieves. Jesus Christ willingly gave up His life. Once He paid the price and the Father showed His face. Jesus said, "It is finished." Gave up the ghost. Done. But them two boys here, they stayed alive for a little bit. Until some Roman soldiers come by and whack! And cracked them in the legs. Oh! And then they suffocated and broke them down. So this guy, they've only got a little bit of time left. They don't know how much time they got left, but they know they're going to be pulling out of here. And it's no time for thinking, you know, if I had it better, you know, I'm so dumb, I had a good chance in life. And the God, He had done me right. No. No, He's straight up honest with Himself. And He tells another guy, "What are you doing? What are you doing? We deserve to be here. We, what does He say? He says, "Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation, and we indeed justly." Those who said, "We deserve to be here." Not a matter of, "Where's my counsel? This is cruel and unusual punishment. You're going to crucify me for stealing." No, sir. This guy is face to face with eternity, and he realized, "I deserve to be here. I deserve to be on this cross." He said, "We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds." I hope and pray that you are willing to be honest enough to let God show you what you are outside of Jesus Christ. Because outside of Jesus, if you're saved, you know this already. If outside of Jesus Christ, we deserve hell. Understand me? God is totally just in the punishment that He has set up. So, well, exactly what is hell? Is it just being separated from God? No, dear friend. If hell was just being separated from God, then you'd be living hell right now. Because people that are lost are separated from God. No, hell is a place of torment. Torments, according to the Bible. It's really a place of burning. There's just no denying that. It's just the truth. And it doesn't stop. And the rich man in hell in Luke chapter 16, 2,000 years ago he was burning, and he's still burning now, and there's nothing to be done about it. And it's just the truth. And we deserve it. We deserve it. Y'all have heard me say before, the Bible says there'll come a day the judgment will set and the books will open. You don't want God pulling the books out on you. You don't want it. You don't want it. You do not want to stand before God with Him pulling the record out on you. See, there came a time in my life I came to God and I said, "Lord, you know me. Lord, I'm guilty." Those deep things about me that nobody else knew, I said, "Lord, it's true. No denying it. You know me. I'm guilty. God, I'm guilty. But I believe Your Son died for all those things. And I got forgiveness." But if I hadn't have done that, there would come a day that I'd stand before God with the judgment set and the books opened. With a God who knows, who understands, a God who knows when I sit down and when I stand, get up, the Bible says, a God who understands my thoughts afar off. Can you imagine if I was foolish enough to say, "I'm as good as the next person. I got my own beliefs. Don't tell me what you think. I got my beliefs. And I believe God's going to weigh my good and my bad. I'll take my chances." And can you imagine standing before such a one and realizing, "Oh my goodness, I don't have any good. Oh my." You stand before His holy essence and you realize, "I don't have any good. And God's not going to weigh my good and my bad. I'm going to be weighed against the righteous standard of His Son who never sinned one time. It's over. I'm done." Of course, you'd figure that out before you got there. Because as you were in your holding cell in jail, in hell, you'd know. You'd get your day in court, but it's too late. Can you imagine? Oh, I'm just telling you here, brethren. Folks, we're guilty. You know you are. You need a covering for your sin. The things you've done that nobody knows about but you and God. The things you've thought. The things you've said. Those things, you need a covering. God has provided a covering. Through the shed blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, God is able to cleanse that sin, wash it away, and cover you with His righteousness. God has provided a covering by the blood of His Son to atone for everything you've ever said, thought, and done if you're first willing to admit that it's all so and don't make excuses. If you're willing to face God with what you are now, and accept that covering He's provided through His Son, you can be forgiven. But if you choose to put it off or choose to not accept it, you'll face God. But you'll face Him one day without a covering. God will be judicial about it. He will give you your day in court. But you'll know already it's over. It's done. But God will give you that day. God will give you that day in court. And it's over and off to the lake of fire. I'm telling you, deal with God now through Jesus Christ, or you'll deal with Him on the other side and it'll be too late. So this thief here, Luke 23, he admits what he is. He makes no excuses. But then look what he says about in verse 41. But this man, meaning Jesus, hath done nothing amiss. You know what he says? He says, he tells another thief, hey, we deserve to be here. But this man, meaning Jesus, he's done nothing amiss. He's done nothing wrong. He could tell Jesus had done nothing wrong. Nothing. And he hadn't, brother. Jesus Christ never did one wrong thing. He never sinned one time. He never sinned in attitude, motive, thought, or deed. Never. But also that's impossible. For you and me, yeah, not for Him. He did it. He was God who became man, and He never sinned. So how do you know that? Well, the Bible tells me that. And then also this, the Bible tells me this. The Bible tells me that after 3 days, on the third day, He got up. The Bible tells me He resurrected. Okay. That's a fact, okay? That's a fact. That's a fact that will stand up in any honest court. Because your Bible says over 500 people saw Him after He rose from the dead. You know, you establish something, you want two or three witnesses? 500 people saw Him after He rose from the dead. It's a fact. It's a fact. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He said, okay, so what if it is a fact? What does that prove? Proves everything. The implications of His resurrection are earth-shattering. If Jesus Christ had had one sin in Him, if He had ever sinned one time, He would have never resurrected from that grave. The Father would have never resurrected. He would have stayed there. He would have never resurrected. In fact, if Jesus Christ had had any sin in Him, He would have been the biggest liar that ever lived. In fact, listen to me. Jesus Christ is the one with whom we have to do. He's the one whom we're going to face and deal with, now or later. You had better give some thought to who He really is. Who is He? Now, He said that He is the Son of God. He claimed to be God Almighty. He claimed to be the same one, the same Jehovah God who in the Old Testament said, I am. Jesus Christ claimed the same thing. He said that He was God. Now, if He is, you better deal with Him and come to know Him now. If He's not, chuck that Bible in the garbage. Let's leave here. Let's go out and do some fishing. Let's go try to get a boat today. Let's go do something. It's crazy to be here. If He's not who He said He is, I don't know, man. Take a coin and go, Buddha, Muhammad, any rest time, flip it up, whatever. One's good as the other. Go for it. If He's not. If He's not who He said He was, He's the biggest liar that ever walked the face of the earth. If Jesus Christ is not who He said He was, He's the most dangerous, deceptive man who ever lived. Seriously, there's no in between. He said, you with all these extremes here. No, hold on. No, you don't understand. Hold on. Whoa, time out, man. He said He was God. Read the account. He claimed to be God. Well, now, look, He was a good man. Whoa! He was a raving lunatic who was evil if He wasn't who He said He was. Whoa now. Come on now. If somebody does some good things and then claims to be God and they're not, what are they? They're a liar. That's not a light thing, you know. I could pretend to be Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, man, but you're not going to buy that one, man, all right? A little too light, a little too short, a little too... You know what I'm saying? What I'm saying is I could claim to be somebody I'm not, and that's whatever. You think I'm deluded. But to claim to be God and you're not? You're not... It's not safe to be around. Come on, folks. What if, you know, like, you know... You know, Brother Dawson really helped me out some. You know, he helped my family out, and he's helped me with some things, you know, and he's really been a blessing to me. You know, it's really, but I want you to come to church because he's really a real nice fellow. Really, it's really helped me a lot. But I do want to, there's one little problem Brother Dawson has. Oh, really? What is it? What is it? Is he crippled? Is he, no. It's no big deal. You can look over it. He says he's God. Just don't think about me. Good night, man. Would you recommend anyone to sit under anyone who said they were God when they're not? Huh? You want to send your kids to listen to somebody like that? No way. Jesus Christ said that He's God. And He is. I know that He is. Do you? If He's not, you better settle it in your mind. See, the world says, well, He was a good teacher. He said, He's God. How can He be good if He's a liar? That big of a count. If He's that great of a liar, how can He be good? He's not good. Unless He is who He says He is. Jesus said, make the tree good and the fruit good, or make the tree corrupt and the fruit corrupt. You can't have it both ways. He either is who He said He was, or He's not. If He's not, let's go, man, just use it for scribbling paper, color in it. Let's go do something else. Let's go do something today. Let's go. If He's not, if He is, you better hang on every word He says. You better love Him. You better worship Him. You better thank Him. You better get acquainted with Him. You better come to know Him and love Him like He loved you. But you've got to find out. You know what the devil's hoping that you'll do? Just put it aside. Oh, that's it. Man, I tell you, you really challenged me today. I mean, that really challenged me. That got me thinking. Whoo! Sometimes I got to think about that. Aha! That's what the devil wants you to do. Sometime, someday, think about that. Yeah, you know, next week? You know, I got some time off next week. I think I'll check that out. And so Wednesday, you'll be dead in a car wreck. You see what I'm saying? The thing's always, just put it off, just put it off. Yeah, that was really stimulating. That really got me to thinking, you know? That really got me. You better do more than think. You better do more than think and get stimulated. You better, listen, you better give some pause and some thought and find out the answer. Who is He? And if He is who He said He was, and He is, what are you going to do with Him? What are you going to do with Him? If you don't do with Him now, He'll do with you later and you won't stop Him.
Right.
You can do with Him now. You can receive Him as Savior and come to know Him. And I can't even describe how wonderful He is. But if you don't, He'll do with you later. And you'll be powerless to stop Him. So He acknowledged what He was. He acknowledged who Jesus was and that He was without sin. He done nothing amiss. And again, the resurrection proves it. If He had had one sin, He wouldn't have got up. But He did get up. He rose that third day. Glory to God. He got up. He rose. What an event. What an event. The powers of darkness thought they'd done it. They thought they'd defeated Him. There He is in the grave. The Bible says in Acts 2, He went over to hell. I believe He was there and deposited our sins. He comes over there to Abraham's bosom, to paradise there. And that third day, I mean, there's this great earthquake. Boy, that angel comes and rolls that stone away to let Jesus out. No, so people could look in and see He's not there. He got up. He arose. Seated now on the Father's right hand. I believe He got up, put that blood, ascended on high, and put the blood on the mercy seat. Finished, done, accomplished. Came back and revealed Himself to the disciples there, spent time with them. And they went there on high with the Father seated there and awaiting the Father's word to come back, get His bride, and take us to be with Him. Do you know Him? Do you know Him? Look here. Verse 41, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, did you realize I could not preach this message using an ASV? If I had another Bible, if I had the ASV Bible, which was one of the first perversions put forth in this country in the early 1900s, I could not preach this message. Because I'm pretty sure it's the ASV that has the thief turning and saying, Jesus, remember me. There's a little bit of difference between going, Jesus, remember me, and Lord, remember me. Quite a difference. Many people acknowledge Jesus as a Jew, a man who was named Jesus, but they don't acknowledge Him as Lord. As Lord. The Bible says God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He turned to Jesus as Lord. And it hinged right there on that thing right there. He acknowledged Jesus for who he was. Not merely a man, not merely a fellow Jew. He's the Lord. He's Lord and the Lord. He is God become man. He's the Son of God and God the Son. Lord! You need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in truth. You need to believe on Him in truth. The Bible says that people will come preaching another Jesus. The Mormons have a Jesus which is not the Jesus of the Bible. Not. The Mormon Jesus was a brother with the devil. Seriously. You pin him down, they have to admit it to you. He's not the same Jesus of that book. Alright? The Jehovah Witnesses don't have the same Jesus the King James Bible has. Because the Jesus they have is not deity. They have another Jesus. Listen, Islam has another Jesus. The Jesus they have, and I've read the parts of the Quran about it, they do not believe that God, they do not believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. They don't accept that. They believe in Jesus as a prophet, but not as the Son of God. Catholicism has another Jesus in this sense. They acknowledge His deity, but they subordinate Him in a sense to His mother. They put Mary on an equal footing with Him. It's a lie and it's wrong. It's not what your Bible says. It's not what your Bible says. Listen, that King James Bible gives you the Lord Jesus Christ in truth. The Bible says the Lord is nigh unto all that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth. In truth. He said, Lord, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. That'll get it done. That'll get it. See, more so than worrying about having the words all in the right order, and what I'm saying by that is, you know, like, well, what do I say? Just call out to Him from your heart. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. That did it. That did it. I'm here to tell you this morning that if you see what you are before God, that you are a guilty sinner. Guilty before God. If you want to be made right with God, if you want to know God, then you need to be willing to turn to Him. And if in your heart, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that His blood made full payment for your sin, that He died, was buried, and rose again on the third day on your behalf, if you believe that, if you believe that His death by shedding of His blood was able to make full payment for your sin, if you believe that He's the way to be saved, He's the way you can be made right with God, if you believe that, then go to God and tell Him you believe that. And tell Him that by faith you accept that gift of salvation offered in Jesus Christ. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you believe what you are and who He is and what He did for you, go to God and tell Him what you believe. If you believe the blood of Christ made full payment for your sin, go to God and tell Him that you believe that and you accept that payment Christ made on your behalf. If you believe it, tell Him you believe it. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And He said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. What words? What words? What words? Relief, pardon, forgiveness, assurance, eternal life. He's got it. He's got it. No time to give money to the poor. No time to join a church. No time to get baptized. All these are good things. All these are fine things. All things are proper things. There's nothing wrong with them. But there's no time for any of it. But thank God there was time to get to the one that mattered. There was time to turn to Jesus. There was time to look to Him. There was time to call upon Him. And He did. And He got saved. And if you're saved, you're going to see Him someday. Just think. I mean, the main thing is the Lord. But you get to see among all that great number there, there's that thief. There's that thief. And you know what? He's going to have a new body. That thief's going to have a new body. But you know what our Bible tells us? Did you know from what we can tell by the Scriptures, Jesus' body is permanently scarred. See, if you're saved, you're going to get a new body. But in the book of Zechariah, when he returns, people are going to ask him, what are these wounds in your hand? He's still got them. And you know what his answer is, according to the Bible? Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. I get a new one. He's got a scarred one. From me. Do you realize you'll never be able to look at him and not realize he loves you? Not be able to look at him and never realize he loves you. What does the Bible say? There's a part of the Bible I've engraved. What does the Bible say? It said, can a woman forget her sucking child? The Lord said, yeah, they may forget, but I'll not forget you. I've engraved thee on the palms of my hands. Remember those scars in his hands, that blood was shed? It's like our names there. That's proof. That's proof how much he loves you and me. He didn't deserve to go there. I did. I did. I deserved that. He was rich. He became poor for me. He died that I might live. I get a new body. From what I can tell, he comes back. He's still got the scars in his. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Yes, sir. He comes back. But hey, you and I need to get it. We're just old Gentiles. We was out there. We weren't Jews. Those precious promises weren't us. We were dogified Gentiles. We weren't like those Jews. But yet He came our way and said, I'm willing to save y'all too. God help us for getting stopped up and not appreciate what we've got in the blessed Son of God. I tell you, them angels, I believe they know it. May God help you and I to get it and see how much He's loved us and what He's done. And all glory and honor and praise is due and worthy of Him. Indeed. Blessed Lamb of God. He died that I might live. I'm the one who deserved to be on that cross. I deserve to be. You know when they put that crown of thorns on His head and mashed it down, that should have been my head. Not His. See, my mind has thought wrong things. My mind has thought unclean things. My mind has thought things it ought not think. Not His. When they went and they pierced His hands, that should have been mine. My hands have done things they shouldn't have done. Not His. All His hands went around doing was like, oh, you're deaf? You're going to hear now. Oh, you can't see? Well, you can see now. Take a leper, an unclean leper. I will be thou clean. And you're going to walk in. His hands went around doing good. Mine, yours. We know what our hands have done. They nailed His feet. My feet have taken me to places that I'd rather not think about. I'd rather wish I could forget. My feet have taken me places they shouldn't go. His feet. Always just followed in the Father's will, exactly where they're supposed to go. Always directly in God, the Father's will. My eyes looked at things they shouldn't have looked at. His? You kidding me? His eyes just beheld the Scriptures and closed in prayer and looked up to the Father and just... Not His eyes. I deserve to be on that cross. I deserve to be there, put to death, and then in hell. Not Him. But He took my place. And the night I got saved was the night that I realized He did it for me. Oh, I knew that before. I could have told you, well, Christ died for our sins. But that night, it became real to me. I realized that night, wait a minute, Lord, You really did. You did it for me. Thank You. I believe that. I accept that. I got saved. And you can too. In the Bible, I'm just about done up. In the Bible, There's a young man named Isaac, Abraham's son. And God had given Isaac to Abraham, and it was almost a miracle. Well, it was a miracle. I say almost, shoot fire, it was a miracle. Because Abraham was like 99 years old, almost 100, and his wife was 90. She was 90 years old and had a baby. Why, Erica and Ashley, here y'all are, getting ready to have youngins. Y'all in your 20s, can you imagine being 90? See, how does a 90-year-old woman have a baby? God worked a miracle. He rejuvenated her body. So much so, she didn't look like a 90-year-old woman anymore, really. I mean, after Abimelech, if you can read your Bible, Abimelech tried to take her for his wife. She didn't look like a 90-year-old woman no more. God worked a miracle. She had a baby. She had Isaac. And God said, Abraham, I'm going to multiply. Abraham, come here, come here. Abraham, you see them stars? Yes, Lord. Abraham, I'm going to make your seed like the stars. You can't count them. Lord, I believe you. Abraham, you believe? I believe you, Lord. And Lord counted him for righteous. Lord told Abraham, I'm going to multiply you. And he was going to do it through Isaac. So here's a promised son. Here's a promised son. Here's Isaac. God's going to make my youngins like the stars in the heaven through this boy right here. He loved him. And one morning, Abraham got up and the Lord said, Abraham, yes, Lord, here I am. Here am I, Lord. Look, new day. Ready to walk you, Lord. Yes, sir, here I am. Abraham, that boy Isaac that you love so much. Yes, Lord. Lord, I just want to thank you again for him. Thank you again for him, Lord. Abraham, I want you to deliver him up to me for a burnt offering. That means Abraham had to kill him and offer him up for a burnt offering. You know what Abraham did? Yes, Lord. And he strode off to do it. Now, I'm not preaching on it this morning, but I want to go ahead and tell you, if you'll go check out the account in Genesis 22, 23, 24, and Hebrews, you'll find out that Abraham knew. Abraham in his heart believed, God, if you let me kill him, you'll bring him right back. Abraham knew that if Abraham took that knife and killed him, he knew that God would immediately restore him to life and he'd come back down the mountain with him. You know why? Because God had promised it would be through that boy, and God don't lie. So Abraham knew, if God has me offer him and even burns him, he'll bring him back and I'll come back down the mountain with him. He knew that. But still, going through such a thing? But here's the point I want to bring up. The Bible says Isaac had that wood on his back, like Christ bearing his cross. And he said, Father, here am I, my son. Behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? My son, God will provide himself a lamb. See, look what Isaac knew. Daddy, we got the fire. Daddy, we got the wood. And Daddy, you taught me well. You give me Bible, Daddy. You showed me. I know what the Scripture says. I know about great-great-great-grandpa Adam and Eve. And I know about Abel. I know. Lord, Daddy, there's got to be a blood sacrifice. There's got to be something to give its life. And Daddy, here's the fire and here's the wood. But then, Daddy, we need a lamb. Son, God's going to provide that. Isaac knew there needed to be a lamb. That boy was taught right and he knew. But it hadn't really become personal, I don't think, to him yet. He knew the facts, but it hadn't become real to him, I don't think. The boy got up there and Abraham bound it and he yielded to it. Whoo, trusted his daddy like that. And he laid him down there and he took that knife. That boy's come from heaven. Abraham! Yes, Lord. I know you love me. Don't do it to him. He looked around there and there was a ram caught in a thicket. And Abraham goes over there. And he looks up Isaac and says, son, look here. We got something to take your place. Isaac, you remember what you said? You know, you need a lamb. You remember how, you know, Adam and Eve, your great-great-grandma, great-great-grandpa, you remember about, well, look, Isaac, look. You know, I taught you about it, but look, that lamb, Isaac, that ram, I mean, is going to take your place. Just like someday the Messiah is going to come. But listen, that ram is going to take your place. And he did. And I believe on that day it all became real to Isaac. See, I know it became real because it was personal. He understood. But that day it was personal. There might be some of you here listening on tape and you've heard. Maybe you got a mom and daddy that showed you and instructed you. Or maybe you've heard the other one. You know, you understand there's got to be a sacrificial lamb. There's got to be a lamb that will take your place because of your sin and shed its blood. You understand the need for it. And you might even understand that Jesus Christ is that lamb. And you might understand He died for the sins of the world. But my dear friend, you've got to come to the point. There's got to be the day that it becomes personal to you. The day that you realize and accept and tell God that you believe it, that the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, died for you, and you believe it, and you tell God you believe it, you thank Him for it, and it becomes real and personal. If it hasn't, it can. It can. Folks, I love y'all. Know where you're at. If you listen on tape, I don't know where you're at spiritually. I don't know. I just know that I pray constantly and I say, God, if there's anybody in this church, if there's anybody, Lord, to come to our church, they remember or not a member, Lord, if they don't really know you, if it's never been personal, oh God, deal with them and help them see. Listen, if you're here this morning, and I'm not trying to stir your emotions up, I'm just being honest with you. You may understand the facts, and you could even tell me what needs to be done. You could tell me how they're going. You could tell me all about it. But you've never made it personal. I beg you this morning, as we close up in prayer, if the Lord's passing by your way, if Jesus is extending His hand to you, if the Lord's drawing you to Himself, I pray that you'd say yes to Him this morning, that you'd accept what Jesus Christ has done on your behalf. I pray you may understand about the Lamb of God, but if you've never made the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, personal to you, I pray you'd do so this morning. Father, I thank You for this time. Lord, work around me. Lord, I'd flub anything up. Lord, work around me. Father, by Your Spirit. Lord, for somebody here, it's so deep. They've never been born again. Lord. Oh, Father. Do what I can't do. Help them to see Jesus. Lord, may Your Spirit let them see the Lord Jesus. Draw them, Father. Draw them by Your Holy Spirit to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Oh, Father, keep the devil and the powers of darkness at bay. Don't let them steal the seed sown. Father, just bear witness to truth. And I ask this in Lord Jesus' name. Amen. With your heads bowed, your eyes closed. She plays. You know where you're at. I don't. You do. I hope you do. The Lord does. Ain't nothing to be afraid of coming to Jesus. He loves you. Great goodness, how much He loves you. He went to that cross 2,000 years ago. And He let Himself be beaten and spit on and nailed for you. For everything you've done. Nothing He done, but everything you've done. And if you'll just believe that, if you'll just believe that and tell God you believe it, He'll save you. He'll forgive you. He'll make you His. Like that song says, just as I am. You can't clean up. Let His blood wash you up. Just come. Just come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot. To Thee, whose blood can cleanse each spot. O Lamb of God, I come. I come. If you've never come to the Lamb of God, oh, I wish you would. Make sure you got something real.
Make sure you don't just have an empty profession. Make sure you got something real.
About 20 years ago. Did it give you something that's real today? I mean, have you? Did you get a new life in the Lord? Just as I am, thou wilt receive. Wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve. Boy, ain't that the one? Relief, amen. Because thy promise, I believe. O Lamb of God, I come. I'm going to let her play through one more verse and I'm going to close it out. I'm not trying to make an emotional thing here. I just honestly want to give you an opportunity. I want you to be able to do business with the Lord if He's doing business with you. God bless you, folks. Appreciate you being here. Appreciate you being here this morning. Love you. Love you, folks. Listen, as I let you go here in a little bit, please, to those of you that are here, to those listening on tape, if the Lord's still dealing with you about some matter, don't put it off. Don't put it off. You call off somewhere, get along with Him, and you get business done with the Lord. Please, don't delay.